I thought maybe it'd be something I could insert in just the teaching, but this Wednesday I'll just share, because I think as a praise, we need to again continue to be praying for the radio stations, and especially the financial end of these things. The possibility that we might lose one of the major underwriters at the end of this coming month. And so Ron Lemon and I were in Olean all day Wednesday, met a ton of people. We were just sharing about Dove FM, and one man said that he has a business, a pharmacy business. He wanted to do underwriting on the station, and that we just thought that was a miracle, because we're totally ignorant, and I am not at all a salesman, but Ron's kind of got the personality. And the neat thing was Ron had his sister-in-law was in the hospital, so we went to Olean Hospital, went out and prayed with her. As we were praying with her, another couple in the next bed, the Corsons, as we were talking and praying with Caroline, Mr. Corson, he just kept looking over and smiling and so on. After we prayed, just real quick, I just turned to him. I said, how you doing? And what's your name? So on and so forth. I forget his first name now, but his last name was Corson. I go, oh, Corson. I said, do you know we have on our radio station a teacher whose name is Corson? And he says, I said, well, how do you spell your name? And it was C-O-R-S-O-N. I said, oh, this is C-O-U-R-S-O-N. And he goes, Corson, yeah. He says, I've heard him. And I go, you've heard it? He says, yes, I listen to radio station. And he says, I've heard, you know, the teachings on your radio station. I like it. And I asked him where they went to church. And he said, they go to church at St. Mary's Catholic Church. And I said, here's a man and his wife, and she had broke her hip. And so that's why they were in the hospital. And here they're getting discipled by listening to the radio station. I just thought, what an amazing thing. And we were able to pray with them. As we got done praying with them, Tim walked in. He was the physical therapist. And I was talking to Mrs. Corson, and all of a sudden Ron says, hey, we need to pray for Tim. And here Tim had walked in, and I don't know where he was spiritually at all, but I know his dad had died the day before, and he was working. And so we were able to pray for Tim. And it is just a neat day. Then we were at a mattress store on whatever, and my knees were by that time hurting. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to sit here, because we had gone into the mattress store and he wasn't available. So Ron said, I'm going to go up the street. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to sit here for a minute. Ron comes back, goes in the mattress store. Alan comes out. He goes, I thought I recognized your voice. I want to meet you personally. And so Alan listens to the radio station. Alan was running the mattress store, and he's the pastor of First Baptist, I think it's First Baptist Church in Olean. He was so excited, he says he and his wife listen faithfully to Dove FM. They love it, and it's just been, if we don't get the owner of the mattress store to support Dove FM, he said, the Lord has been telling my wife and I that we as a church need to be supporting Dove FM, and this is just the Lord putting us together, and we're going to support Dove FM. It's just neat how we began to meet so many people over there, and the station's having an impact on lives over there. And so pray for the radio ministry. We don't even know who is being touched by it. That's the amazing thing. And we don't need to know. I want to know when I get to heaven. And so it's important. We're going out this Wednesday, and we're going to go into Jamestown. Pray that we would have success, that the Lord would help us that His Spirit would go before us, that He teach us, you know, how to approach people and how to just love people, and that He would lay it on the hearts of businessmen and individuals to support the station. So we'll see what Jamestown has to say. Well, I wanted to go back and try and move towards the end of our study in Ephesians. And I don't think I talked to Jim this week. Just so Jim knows, not to say anything about Jim, but I don't know how, I had at least, so it's a good thing, 5 different calls or people approaching me, how the word ministered last week. And so I just want you to know that it was just an awesome thing. And so, and you were in Joshua, I think, and I told you to do whatever the Lord put on your heart, and I think definitely you obeyed the Lord. So today, we've been working, really, Paul's been working in these last 2 chapters off of Ephesians 5. Turn to Ephesians 5, verses 5 through 18. Again, what I share a lot is just what the Lord speaks to me and what the Lord's... I say hammer, it's always a good thing when the Lord convicts me. Always. I always want to be open to what the Lord's doing in my heart. And so as the Lord's convicting me, this is what I need in my life. This is what I share. And so Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit." And so Paul, that's the main truth that Paul expresses as he then moves into how we're to approach, how we're to live in all these different relationships. Paul's argument is that as we're filled with the Spirit, we must live in a way that is really so radically unique. And I can only live in that radical, unique way if I'm filled with the Spirit. And what he does, it really... more than, you know, most maybe teachers, even scholars, Paul masterfully, you know, works out this truth by following basically 3 principles or 3 thoughts. First, he says, if I'm filled with the Spirit, when we meet together as a church, I think it goes beyond that. When again, I meet other Christians or another Christian, there'll be great praise, there'll be great thanksgiving. He talks about I'm singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. I'm singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's a consequence of being filled with the Spirit. And it impacts. It's hard for me at times, you know, again, trying to like pick a pattern or strum a rhythm and then to remember, especially if I don't know the song by heart, but sing the song. And then on top of that, I'm going to worship. And hopefully this morning, you know, certainly the church needs to experience that. That when we come together, we're singing, there's hymns, there's songs, there's spiritual songs, there's thanksgiving. How we can be thankful, you know, for what God has done. And we could say, you know, in the past, but how about just the last week? We were together last week, now a week has passed. You know, and we come together and we share these things. You know, we've prayed and our church has prayed for Jim. We've kind of stood with Jay through that. Wow. And now maybe, you know, Jim's at a place. He might accept the Lord this morning. Wow, what a tremendous saying. I can remember Jim coming and saying, you know, my uncle's dying and I don't think he's saved, but I'm going to go talk to him today. And how we prayed. We prayed back there and then we prayed here. And then throughout the day, we were praying and thinking of this encounter that Jim was going to have. And then Jim coming back next week, he's saved. Whoa, cancer is going to take his life, but he's saved. And so what an encouragement. You know, this whole process now, as he's close to going to be with the Lord, this whole process, at least it makes it endurable. You know, that now we have a hope, right? Without it, there's no hope. Without it, everything's lost. And our heart just breaks. You know, we don't know. We don't know the impact of a soul that is lost for all eternity. And we don't want to face that. I don't want to face that. I face that as a pastor, you know, doing some of these funerals that I've been asked to do. And I'm just being, I know there's no evidence in any way, shape, or form that the person is saved. And so what do? You certainly are not excited about doing that funeral. You just faithfully share the gospel for those who still have a chance to go to heaven. And so, you know, we give thanks. And I just like, and God, I want you to work this in my life. You know, that we give thanks for all things, he says. That's a life that's filled with the Spirit. That everything is Jesus. And I recognize that Jesus is leading my life and working out, you know, hopefully in my life, the things he's allowing me to go through, so his eternal purposes are being accomplished, and that I'm just his faithful servant. I'm just his faithful slave. I'm just his faithful bondservant. And so Paul says that as I'm filled with the Spirit, when I meet together, when we come together as a church, when I meet other believers, there's just this sense of how wonderful that is. And again, it's a spiritual experience. And then he goes on, and it's the last verse of verse 21 there in that section. He brings up this idea, the second thread that he brings forth is that one of, is one of humility, brokenness, and submission. That we're subject to one another. And then he goes on from that, and it's like he branches off, and he says the first relationship that this is seen in is wives submitting to their husbands in all things. The second is children being in submission to their parents, again, in all things. And then we're going to move on today, and we're going to see that the third thread, he talks about slaves, bondservants, in submission to their masters, again, in all things. In the middle of that, he shares, you know, he might say he jumps back into a little doctrinal thing when he talks about husbands loving their wives, and then he brings in that whole thing of Jesus in the church, how husbands are loving their wives as Jesus loves the church. And again, I think, to me, what Paul's trying to say is that only as a Christian filled with the Spirit will you ever find a life that is a life of humility, a life of submission, a life of love, and a life of obedience. The other thing I see is that I think Paul's saying that a Christian life, and it goes to say whether I'm a child, whether I'm a husband, whether I'm a wife, as a unit, my marriage, my family, I think what he's trying to say is that Christian people, families, marriages, churches, really ultimately should be such an astonishment to the world. Why? Because we're in the world, And all around us is, you know, there's fighting and there's strife and there's darkness and there's sin and there's, you know, trouble and there's just these horrible things. But in the midst of that, here's a Christian. Here's a husband and a wife. Here's a husband, wife, and children, a family. And then here's a church that is just shining, that we're being bombarded, and we're going to see that he's not done. There's one more thing he's going to say that's right in the same vein as all this. Now we've gone through all this. Finally, he's it's like, okay, now we're to this point. We're not done. There's one more thing that's integral in this whole thing. And so, but the point is, again, how important it is. How important it is for me, again, every day, just to have that sense. I've got to be filled with God's Spirit so that when I hear, you know, those words, you know, why is it, you know, that you look at someone and they have maybe a terminal sentence placed on them by a doctor, or they experience, you know, a tragedy or whatever, and it's just like, wow, they see a purpose in this. They can rejoice in this. You know, how does that all happen? Again, I think that what Paul's saying is that, again, it's being filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to end with a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians, and it's allowing God. You know, it's allowing that consecration to occur in my life, where that more and more and more, Holy Spirit, Jesus, now you have this. I'm yielded to you in this area, and I trust you. I'm walking in faith. I recognize that you're on the throne, that you have my good always, you know, before you and in your heart. And so Paul goes on. Go flip down to chapter 6 now. And the last relationship that he throws in here. And I was asking myself, I mean, why does Paul go here? Number one, because this was a very real thing in Paul's day. You know, it was a very real thing right in our day. Not quite in our day, but in our history. You know, 100, let's see, this is like, I'll be 2,000, you know, 150 years ago. I don't know if I'm right or not, right? Civil War, that's why, you know, we kind of had a civil war in our country. You know, slavery exists today. And it's interesting to me that Paul is not dealing with the fact that slavery, the rights or wrongs of this horrible thing. He's not going to make a statement as to slavery is wrong and we need to abolish it. And I think there's a reason for that again. I think Paul's being realistic. More realistic than sometimes we as Christians are, I as a pastor am. You know, I don't want to be telling people, you know, you accept Christ and, wow, is it going to be a breeze now? You know, you can just, you know, slide down the hill into heaven. And, I mean, there's some neat, you know, little things with that that will really thrill you. And it's such a wonderful thing. Because that's just not the case. You know, we're going to accept the Lord and he's going to save us, and then we're going to move towards, you know, becoming more like him. We're going to battle, you know, that flesh and that carnality that's always raising its ugly head in our lives. That struggle is going to be there. And then the devil, we're going to see that this is the last thing that Paul wants to leave with us. Realize, wow, you have an enemy and he wants to crush you, and he will do it any way that he can. He has some good little schemes up his sleeve. And just realize that he wants to beat you up and knock you out. And we get shocked that that happens to us, you know. And so Paul's going to tell us how to stand. But I just think that Paul's just saying, again, a life in the Spirit. A life in the Spirit. A life that's filled with the Spirit. Ultimately, you know, as Jesus increases in you and he increases in me, these things that we're going to come up against, they're not going to knock us out. We're going to be victorious. We're going to shine through them all. Again, we're going to live a life that is unique and radically, really astonishing when you would look at the circumstances. The other thing I think is that Jesus, why should we, and I've asked this many times, I think Gail Irwin was the one that really, you know, God used to really like slam it into my pea brain. Why should I expect to live any, you know, a life, you might say, above Jesus himself? If he was despised and rejected, could there be a chance that I'll be despised and rejected? If he was hated, I mean, he even says it. Jesus says, why should I be surprised that I would be hated? That I would be abused? You know, that I would go through certain things. Is a servant above the master? No, and so that's the other thing I see here, that, and there might be others, but those two things that Paul's saying, again, I'm not speaking, you know, are you being abused? I'm not speaking, are you going through a hard time? I'm not dealing with, you know, are you being wronged? I'm just telling you as a Christian, if you're filled with the Spirit, this is how you should be living. If you're really yielding to the Spirit. And so it's a challenge when I read these things. And the neat thing is, again, when I read these things, is I look at my life, I'm like, man, F, you know, fail. And yet it encourages me, because I know that the Lord doesn't put forth any of these things unless, ultimately, he will empower us and enable us to come to a better place. And so he goes on after talking about the kids and the fathers. And again, there's that duality. The kids, obey your parents and honor them and respect them. But dads, love your kids. Don't exasperate them. You know, don't confuse them. Same thing. Slaves, and then he's going to talk to the masters. Bondservants, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and with trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill during service is to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. So slave, he talks to the bondservants first. Okay, I'm a bondservant. I'm filled with the Spirit. Now he's talking about a real situation. He's talking about a real individual who is enslaved to a master. He's owned by that master. And so he's at the mercy of that master. Now that master could be A-okay, kind of kind, or he could be horrible. To me, no matter what, geez, wouldn't it be awful to be owned by another human being? I mean, that just seems horrible, you know, to me. So Jesus speaks to that slave. I'm not telling you whether it's wrong for that master to be doing what he's doing. I'm just telling you as a slave how you should live. Be obedient to the master. We've heard that before, haven't we? This obedience. Right? We're to obey the Lord. Wives are to submit and in essence be obedient to their husbands. They're to respect them. Kids are to be obedient to their children. And so obedience is an important thing. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I have a heart. I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to do what His Word says. I don't want to be this rebellious, self-willed individual. He takes it a step further, doesn't he? Paul in Romans, he says, I have a responsibility as a citizen to be obedient to the powers that are over me. Again, that whole idea of there's a chain of command, there is authority. And we're all under authority, no matter where we are in that chain, because we're all under the authority of God. And so, I must have that heart that again, I'm what? In submission one to another. I'm in submission to the authorities. I'm in submission to the laws. I'm in submission to, I'm obedient to the plea. So whatever, that kind of a thing. And so there's that heart of obedience. That's a fruit of, that's a result of being filled with the Spirit. That, and again, it doesn't say, I want to stay away from, again, and that's what I struggle with seeing in my mind all the time. That's not right. You know, that's, I don't want that. I don't, you know, they should be, you know, tell me to do it this way or whatever. It doesn't matter. I am obedient to my master. Now look at, there's an attitude, right? I think when we worship, you know, we worship there, we can come in and raise our hands, right? We can sit, we can stand, we can fold our hands, we could kneel. There's an act to worship, but more importantly than that, there's an attitude in worship, right? I mean, this morning, if again, there's all this stuff that we're doing, but if my mind isn't worshiping, if my heart isn't worshiping, then it's kind of not worship, right? I mean, we can sing a fast song, a slow song, a middle song, a waltz, you know, a polka. But if my heart isn't there, then worship isn't being accomplished. And so that's why I need to be prepared. You know, when I come Sunday mornings, I always try and prepare a little bit. Before I even leave my house, I try and prepare. But then we come and we prepare other ways, and then we pray, and I try and get to the place where I've come here for a reason. I'm not come here to fulfill the law. I'm not come here to so I can say, geez, I went to church today, so I'm good. No, I've come to worship the God of gods, the King of kings. Man, I want to bow my heart before Him. I want to praise Him. I want to worship Him. And so that's kind of a thing. Well, I'm going to obey the... Paul says it, right? Maybe in one of the areas that's hard for all of us. Be generous. Let your giving be Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. Give out of grace. That's New Testament giving. I could have use this somewhere. Jeez. No, there's the act. What good is it for me to give? No, there's an act. What I give be out of gratitude. I give to bless. I give, you know, I give to obey. But see, there's an attitude to everything we do. And so what he says is that when I'm as bondservants, be obedient with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart. Why? Fear and trembling? Because the master has power over you. You know, I want to obey the Lord. And again, I think, you know, that speaks more to me than probably the slave thing right now. in my heart today, I want to be obedient to Jesus. I want to be obedient to the Word. I want to be obedient to the Ten Commandments, to the Sermon on the Mount. You know, those things. I want to be obedient, and I want to do it. I want to do be obedient out of fear and trembling, because He's God. And I do want to fear Him. I do want to reverence Him. I do want to respect Him. But I want to do it, what? In sincerity. Lord, I'm doing this because I don't want to grieve You. Lord, man, I want to do it because I know that You love me more than anyone has ever loved me. You went to the cross and died for me. You were willing to give everything for me. Lord, I want to obey You. I want to obey You because of Your great love for me. There's an attitude, a sincerity. What? Again, He says for the slaves, as to Christ. Again, not only my relationship to the Lord, but you know, we can go to my obedience, probably. Stupid. I've said it. Stupid. How can you drive 25 miles an hour going up a hill and then down the other side of the hill? It's hard. I'm talking Faulkner. That's the most stupid speed limit I've ever seen in my life, in a section of road like that. It's almost like my car doesn't hardly want to go up the hill 25 miles an hour. I hardly touch it. I can't hardly do it. My cruise don't work at that. Does your cruise work at 25 miles an hour? Mine don't. And so I'm trying to make it stay at 25 miles. It was interesting. I went through Faulkner. What day did I... Was it Thursday I went out there? Faulkner Cop. At the 40 mile an hour place. I was going 40. I seen him back. He had been going 60. He don't keep the speed limit. He comes right up on my rear end. I mean, he's tailgating me. Just the truth. I go, I do the stoplight. Then I go, you go up over the bridge. I said, I'm going 25. I should have went 15. That's what I should have done. But that would have been wrong. Because I would have been doing, okay, you know, you want me to go 25, I'll go 15. You just, you take your good old time getting back to the barracks there. You know, it was hard to go 25 mile an hour. I kind of did. Going down that hill, I mean, geez. I want to do it. I want to obey the law. And I, again, see, my heart's not right, right? That's stupid. That's the stupidest speed limit in the stupidest place. That's just an example where my heart is. And again, the carnality and the flesh, you know, I'm obeying. I'm doing it with sincerity of heart. Well, you know what? I'm not a traffic engineer or whatever you have to be to set those speed limits. I don't know. I don't know why that is that way, the traffic patterns and all that. I don't understand. You know what? They're the authority, so I'm... And see, it comes, I think, from, again, just a basic thing in my heart that's there or it isn't. Either I'm being filled with the Spirit and God's working on those things, or I'm not really being filled with this. I'm not really yielding to the Spirit in my life. And I'm still just, you know, the God that's on the throne of my life. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Again, I'm not doing any of this to please anybody, not even to please myself. But as bond service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, it's the will of God. It's the will of God to obey my masters. It's the will of God to love my wife. It's the will of God to obey my parents. It's the will of God to submit to my husband. It's the will of God. to respect authority and to have, you know, a heart of obedience for those who are in authority over me. It's just, it's the will of God. And so I'm not doing this because I know better, because I think I do, but I don't. And I'm just doing it because Jesus says to do it. And so I'm just doing it for Christ. And again, that's Paul's theme. When I'm filled with the Spirit, then I'm heavenly minded. My concern is spiritual, eternal. Everything I do has an eternal impact. I want it to be life. I want it to be, you know, eternally lasting. And so, Lord, whether I eat, whether I drink, whether I sleep, whether I'm working, whether I'm driving, whether I'm hunting, whether I'm fishing, whether I'm in Walmart, whether I'm whatever, I'm in here for you. Lord, I needed cinnamon donuts this morning, but what do you need? Right? Lord, I want to go in and get cinnamon donuts, but what might you want this morning? With goodwill, doing services to the Lord, not to men. I'm doing it. Gehazi, Abraham's servant. There's an awesome example. I'm doing it with the good of the master in mind. I want to further his whole deal, not mine. I want only good to come to him. So, goodwill doing service, and again, I'm doing it to the Lord. I'm not even doing it for that master. I'm not doing it for Cummins. I'm not doing it for the city of Warren. I'm not doing it for Northwest. I'm not, whatever, wherever you're at. I'm not even doing it for my family. See, I'm at home right now. I'm not doing it for my family. I'm doing it for Jesus. That's why I'm doing any of this. And you masters now, oh, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's slave or free. I want to receive a reward from the Lord. And I'm promised that. That's an incorruptible reward. A reward that isn't going to perish. It isn't going to fade away. It isn't going to burn up. And then verse 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Masters, you think you're ruling the universe. You think you're the boss. You think you're the big shot. You think you have the power. No, you don't. There's somebody over you. And so you should be loving and doing what's best for your slaves. Why? Because with God, there's neither slave nor free, Gentile, Jew, male, female. There's no partiality. And so there's that balance. You know, as a father, I don't want to frustrate my kid. I just want to love him and I want to disciple him. But I want my kid to obey me. And so there's that balance. Kids, obey. Fathers, don't frustrate. Slaves, obey. Masters, don't frustrate. Don't abuse. And that's a hard thing. You know, I can abuse, right, the office of pastor teacher. I can abuse it. You know, maybe I will want to meet with every one of you, and I'm the pastor, and you know what, if you would sign up for this, it builds on how many people sign up. And because you're in the church, you're my friend, I'm poor, I need you to sign up. That's abusing a position. Do you understand? I did not want to do that. I can't use my position. And that's what he's saying. You don't take advantage of those under you. You don't abuse them. You don't manipulate them. You don't mistreat them. Tell them what to do. Hopefully they'll obey. Again, he's not speaking to the issue of right, wrong of slavery. Jesus, I don't care what you tell me to do. I want to do it. You know, what area in my life, Lord, is the hard area? You know, with me, I know what they are. I'm hoping before I die, before I go to heaven, that I might be able to overcome some of them a little bit. Some of them are hard. I mean, it's pretty hard, right? To overcome those things. And I'm talking about attitudes and things that you've done all the time you've been brought up. And it's like, Lord, please help me change in this area. Please, Lord, help me respond more like you would in these areas. And so, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I just wanted to, right? Slaves, obey. The attitude's important. Respect. I'm doing it not for that master, not because he told me, because I'm just serving Jesus. That's why, I mean, really for us, you know, our homes, they should be the best homes. They should be, everything I'm doing is I'm doing it for Jesus. You know, I want to try and do the best job. That's all. All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians. I wanted to end here. 1 Corinthians 6. Because in my life, this is it. I mean, it just is. First Corinthians, we went over this a few weeks ago. I didn't go over it in this way, Wednesday nights, because we're in 1 Corinthians. But there's two verses that Paul shares here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When I think of these verses, and it's tied in with, again, these relationships that Paul's just gone through, and that whole thing of being filled with the Spirit. See, I was brought up, you know, accept Christ. No, I wasn't brought up that way, but I was, you know, I accepted Christ. And definitely, you know, when you're born again, your life's transformed, radically transformed. Then I was baptized in the Spirit. And again, your life is radically transformed when those things occur. But I think for me to rely upon, again, that experience, and when I read these things, when I come to the place, again, what does Paul say? He's saying some, I think, some hard things. Some things that go totally against what we naturally think, totally against what's in us, that I'm going to obey somebody. Even if it's my parents, I don't want to obey my parents. You know, you can see that even in little kids. We were watching a little 8-month-old little baby on and off. She'll go towards the TV. The TV is no, that's a off limits zone. That's a no zone. Now, you got to get towards it. It becomes a no zone. All right. She'll start, no. Now, she's a couple feet from it. You know what she's doing. Because she's been touching everything else. Well, now it's time to touch the TV. You're not going to touch the TV. You're just not going to do it. So if she goes, no, I'm telling you right now, she'll sit down, turn around. She'll stop because she knows what no means. Turn around, She tries to distract us. She'll laugh, she'll smile, she does her little hand things. We'll even laugh with her. Oh, you know, way to go, Kendall. You know. As soon as she does a few things like that, boom, she's on her way to the TV again. No! I don't yell, I try to make my voice like, no! She'll stop, sit up again, do the same thing. She's going to go for the TV. So then there comes a time that, you know, you have to get up and you go over and you correct her. You know, it's just, that's off limits. You can't go there. So I know that's in me. It's in you. It's in all of us. And so we say this. Paul is saying that I've been redeemed, right? You're redeemed. What's he say? Do we not know that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He's in us. We have it from God. But that next part there, and you are not your own, right? We are not our own. We were bought at a price. I know that. I know that. But what I wanted to leave you with this morning, could we consider this morning, we know that. We've been bought with a price. Redeemed, right? Redemption. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What God's been showing me is I am redeemed. And that's a fact this morning. You are redeemed. But then there's this whole idea. And maybe the theological word is consecration. Let me ask you this. Do any of us look and we know people? Well, I'm a Christian. And you're looking. You are? Wow. What's Paul say? A life that's filled with the Spirit. This unique, radical life. He gives us some things that are some, you know, consequences or results of that being filled with the Spirit. And you look around and you think, man, you would think the church would be the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Changing lives, changing cultures, changing, changing, changing. Is it? No. Why? I don't know. I think we have a lot of people. They're redeemed. But they haven't come to the place because we're redeemed, we're not our own. And I think it's very easy for me. I'm a Christian. But you know what? My life's my life. And I'm going to do with it with, you know, what I will. And so I think that there's this whole thing of I need to allow the Lord to possess me. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to possess me. Oh, I was baptized in Spirit and of Spirit. You know, I'm more interested in speaking in tongues and saying, you know, that that's an evidence of the Holy Spirit than with the fact that if I'm, again, truly filled with the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is literally possessing me. And if he's possessing me, if I'm truly giving up my life, giving my life over, if Jesus is really Lord of my life, then he, again, is totally being Lord of my life. Jeff, you're going to do this. You're going to respond this way. And I'm all the time saying, well, no, I'm not. And so I want you to think, I was bought at a price, you were bought with a price. It was an infinite price. And I want to go through this week looking at different areas of my life. Lord, you've redeemed me. And now, you know what? I want to let you have basically what you paid for. Lord, I'm not going to steal, in essence, you know, your property anymore. Because Paul says, I was bought with a price and I am not my own. But I'm living my life like it is my own. You know, I want to be redeemed, but each day I want to grow and move. Grow in consecration, sanctification, right? I hope I'm saying that right. Why is there no difference between the church and the world? Because we're not a consecrated people. Jesus has bought us, paid for us, saved us, and we accept the Lord, and then we just go on living our lives. No, Lord, I'm not mine. So, Lord, you have control. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to grow in that. Lord, in these very things, he's brought up some important things here. When I look at my relationships, why are they full of strife? Why are they trouble? Why is it not what it should be? Because I'm not where I need to be. Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I'm yielding to you. Lord, your glory is what's important. And nothing else. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these examples. Lord, thank you. Lord, as a husband, I need to love my wife. Lord, as a pastor, I need to be in submission. Lord, as a man, Lord, I need to know that there's a lot in my personality. Lord, even in just the making of men, Lord, you've made us prideful. You've made us self-sufficient. You've made a certain thing in a certain way that it really can be a detriment to allowing you, Lord, to really lead and govern my life. And Lord, so often in my life, I fail to be that unique changed person. Lord, that person that represents you and brings glory to your name just does the opposite, because it brings death and destruction. And so, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, I pray that you would show us, Lord, as your people, Lord, areas in our life where certainly we've been bought, but we've taken. We've not allowed you, Lord, to really possess what you've bought and paid for. Lord, we pray that we would turn, Lord, those areas over to you. Again, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to walk in this radical, unique way, really an astonishing way, a testimony to the world and to the church, Lord, of just what a Spirit-filled life is. Lord, this week, Lord, help us to share the gospel this week. Lord, help us to pray for somebody. Lord, help us, Lord, to just rejoice in you and Lord, enjoy you. One thing I forgot, Lord, for Rick and Emily and Lord Calvary Chapel of Erie. Lord, next week we pray that you draw people, Lord, to this service, to the new building. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing there. Go and be with us now, as we go out back out into the world, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.